Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Daughter, I know I haven't written in a while, but the neighbor's little girl brought us a loaf of bread this morning, and it reminded me of something. Do you remember that day you decided to help your mother make dinner? You couldn't have been more than 5 years old. Your mother was next door visiting the neighbors, and you decided that it was dinner time. It's a wonder you didn't burn down the house cooking that bread. I got home just in time to see you covered in flour, pulling a perfectly cooked loaf of bread out of the oven. That wouldn't be the last time you astounded your dear Papa.
Your grandson is taking a nap, and my better half is at the shop. He always seems to be at the shop, since his skills are in such high demand. But I thought I would take a moment to write. I think of you every day about this time. It's when you always came home for lunch. I remember running at you full tilt when you came through the door, calling out, "Where's my little girl?"
My little girl is quite a good cook, I would tell people. I was always so eager to talk about you, to brag on how smart and hardworking you were. We used to be so close. You were Daddy's little girl for such a long time. And that's why I don't understand how you could let this happen. When I looked towards your future, I had such high hopes
when the messenger came with the letter from home. But no, still just Mama's name at the end. I've kept every letter you two have ever written me. I wish you would write more and not make Mama do it all. But I guess that's part of what happens. Your father is convinced that you've disgraced our family name
has taken quite a hit by what I now think of as your situation. I can barely show my face at the synagogue. I think it would be better if you'd at least admit that you'd done something wrong. And that husband of yours, I refuse to call him my son-in-law. He had us fooled for sure. Seemed like a man with real potential, a future. But now he's fallen in line with your ridiculous story. I can't imagine why
you think I would have lied about this. Don't you think I know how ridiculous it sounds? Of course I do. I don't blame you for having doubts. But to flat out accuse me of lying, I thought you respected me more than that. Of all the childish things I may have done, I never once lied to either you or Mother. I know Mama has her doubts as well, but at least she's doing as I asked and waiting it out. Why can't you
see things through my eyes? I've told your mother that this is the time for tough love. We cannot let you get away with these outrageous stories, playing us for fools. If you want to live it as an adult, then we have to hold you to adult standards and not accept this kind of foolishness.
That's what you called it. You looked right in my eyes and called it foolishness. That's
what bothers me most, I think, is that I think you're fooling yourself. When I looked into your eyes, I didn't see any deception. Some fear, some confusion, even something that resembled excitement, but no deception. Have you really convinced yourself that
this is true? I know it is. No matter who doubts me.
You gave birth to the Messiah. My daughter?
Me.
No. The Messiah would not have come this way.
It was unexpected, but
it's nonsensical
and exciting
and blasphemous
and amazing
and
astounding
and terrifying. I'm so frightened for you, my daughter, my Mary.
Papa, come visit me. Come look into my eyes again. You have to know that I would not invent a story like this.
If it is true.
It is true, Papa.
If it is true, then nothing is as we have expected. Nothing is as the way we planned it.
I can't explain it, Papa. I can't tell you how it will work out, but
this changes everything.
It does, Papa. The God you have served so faithfully all your life is doing a new thing. And you get a front row seat. I don't want you to miss this.
But if the Messiah is not a conqueror, if that is different, then I have this suspicion that this road will not be an easy one for you or your child.
I know it won't be easy, Papa, but Joseph is beside me and God is leading us.
Joseph, he really does believe you, doesn't he?
He does, Papa. He has an advantage, though. God sent an angel to him, too.
Is it too much to ask? You might have done that for me, too.
Papa.
Daughter.
Don't miss out. You've prayed all of your life for a Messiah. You've taught me to expect the unexpected from the God of our fathers. You've instructed me in the faith of our fathers. All I'm asking is that you look to the heavens and ask for God to give you faith in this plan you weren't expecting. Trust me.
My daughter, the mother of the Messiah, can it really be true?
Yes, Papa.
Yes, Mary.
We've had plenty of guests since the baby came. Shepherds and some very wise men from far away, even. I've had lots of time to ponder, and Joseph has been so wonderful. But Papa, I want you to see him. Our little baby, Jesus.
Jesus? You named the baby God Saves.
Yes, Papa. It's the name the angels gave us.
Jesus. My daughter's baby.
Yes, Papa.
Jesus. The Messiah?
Yes.
So, I suppose I must accept that after all the prayers and all these years.
Papa, we should be celebrating because God
is
with
us. With all my love.
With all my love.
And with newly opened eyes, your Papa.
Your devoted daughter.
Anna, gather your things. We're going to go visit our grandson.
Joseph, you're home just in time. Mama and Papa are coming to visit.
You know, when we consider the events around the birth of the Messiah, it's all about being unexpected. We see the nativity sets and the nativity scenes, and we forget that these were very real people. We forget that the things that happened were most unexpected. And just for a few moments this evening, I'd like to speak with you about the individuals, the very real people who were involved here. We assume that the birth of Christ was all peaceful and serene, but when we consider the circumstances of the Advent, the arrival of what the Hebrew people called the Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah of God, taking on flesh to bring us salvation, we have to ask this question: why did he come this way? Why did Jesus come this way? Why not come as a conquering king? Of all the ways that the King of Kings could come, for a few moments, let's consider these difficult circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ and ask that question. Why? Was it mere chance? Did it happen randomly? Or was there a purpose in the very way that these events played out? Any way we look at it, the situation at the very least was uncomfortable, and actually, if we want to be quite honest, it was quite scandalous. Let's begin with this prophecy of the Messiah that was given to the prophet Micah, that actually pointed to the very place where the Savior of the world would be born. And consider that Mary and Joseph weren't even there until right before Jesus' arrival. The prophet Micah 5, 2 through 5, as we've read tonight, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth to me one who is to be ruler in all Israel, whose origin is from old and from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth, and then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel." That is a really often overread part of this prophecy. It wasn't just for a small group of people. It was for all men that Jesus came. It says in verse 4, "And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Just remind you that this word peace is not the cessation of hostilities, but rather it's the rejoining together of things that were separated. So who were these people, the receivers of this promise? These were just ordinary people. Mary and Joseph, they were ordinary people from an ordinary town, Nazareth. This wasn't a special place. It wasn't a special place. In fact, the reputation of people from Nazareth. I know sometimes we make jokes about little communities around, and there's communal rivalries between cities. But when Nathanael was asked to follow Jesus, his response was, "Could anything good come from Nazareth?" This wasn't a special place. It was a very ordinary place. Mary was most likely a young teenager. I'm sure she was overwhelmed with these circumstances. Joseph was just a common man. He was a carpenter. He wasn't a politician. I mean, there was no nepotism or family power or positions to exploit for Jesus' future ministry. Not at all. He was just an ordinary person. This was an arranged marriage, and most likely Joseph was much older. These were common folks. They weren't that well off. We don't read of them having great wealth to purchase comfort and luxury around the birth of Jesus. In fact, we find just the opposite. Why? Why did God come this way? You know what? I know that these circumstances bring a lot of pressure. Here's the question: why does God use situations that seem overwhelming? Well, let's look at some more of these circumstances before we shy away from them, because a lot of times we shy away from them this time. These were questionable circumstances. Mary was visited by an angel. The rest of the town was not. Have you ever known something that no one else knew and they thought you were crazy? Just for a moment tonight, Consider Mary. She had to be told that she was highly favored. I bet she did not feel highly favored. Because I know that people in small towns don't like to gossip, do they? Yeah. Think about Joseph's reaction. Joseph's reaction was he was going to divorce her quietly, okay? And he had to be visited by an angel. I could just think of the words of the townsfolk as they thought and they spoke about Mary's situation. Mary said it was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the same thing happened to my brother's girlfriend too. Gang, these circumstances brought a level in this culture of societal judgment and speculation that painted Mary in an unfavorable light. And yet the angel said she was highly favored by God. Again, Joseph planned to do things in the midst of his bewilderment and his fear. He had to be visited by an angel to give him the strength to remain faithful for the calling that God had for him. So this asks the question, why this way? I know for a lot of us, we would say, why not remove any reason for doubt? Why not remove doubt? But here's the thing we have to understand. And if you don't get anything else tonight, please get this. When we say there's no room for doubt, there is no room for faith. And our salvation is all about faith. We believe the impossible. That God sent his son, born of a virgin, to purchase our salvation. Think about this journey for a moment. Now, I know that, you know, they had all of this pressure that was put upon them, and then they have to take an 80-mile journey, but most likely they went around Samaria, which added 20 miles to the journey. So this is a 100-mile journey with a very pregnant wife to sign up to pay taxes. I know everyone's in a really good mood around the middle of April, aren't you? I'm painting a picture for you here. These are common, ordinary individuals who have extraordinary situations and events in their life. And these things brought more emotional stress and strain upon them. Why? Why would God do this? I want you to know that God is moving chess pieces around to get Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the appointed time. And so, lo and behold, a decree, a census to get them into position. It wasn't wise to take this journey, but maybe this would offer some sort of emotional relief from the likelihood of the gossip that she was enduring. I want you to know that the path to the place of destiny may, in fact, be a rough one. Finally, let's talk about this place, Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem itself has an odd meaning. It says the meaning of the word Bethlehem is the house of bread. Bread is one of the most common things that we have in life. It's interesting, in John chapter 6, Jesus himself said that I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. An ordinary place. As Micah said, though you are little among the thousands of Judah. There's nothing special here about these people, nothing special about these places, nothing special about them. But what if I told you tonight that you were God's chosen place to dwell? I know some of you would say, right, well, there's nothing special about me. Check. Some of you say, well, I don't come from much. Check. Some of you say, well, my pedigree doesn't measure up. Check. I'm not worthy. Check. So what made this place so special? Well, they got to Bethlehem, and you think that maybe now they'd get some relief, but there wasn't any room for them. Here's my question tonight. Is there room in your life, in the busyness and the craziness of how we continually make our schedules more and more and more packed, in the things that we add to our crazy lives? Is there room for the King of Kings? They were outcasts again. Not our traditional nativity scene. This manger was most likely a feeding trough. But here's the interesting thing. This cave is what would receive them. And guys, we can choose to make room. The Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 9 says this. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. I want you to know, Christ was coming. The appointed time had come. Verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Verse 12 is the hope that we have. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Is there room?
A family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save the world so cold and hollow. Sleeping down, they did not know that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart?
In such an unexpected manner? That's our question tonight. Why? The birth of Christ is not about the absence of difficult situations, but rather it's about the presence of a loving God with us. John 1:12, as we just read, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came this way to show us how much God loves us and the lengths that he would go for our redemption. He came this way so he can have empathy, compassion, understanding. Whatever you're going through, I want you to know he knows, he understands, and he loves you in spite of any circumstances in your life. He came in this way predetermined and destined. He came for you, and his invitation to all who'd receive, is there room?
Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly.
Let's all sing together.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are. Set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became man to enable men to become the sons of God. That's why he came. That's why he came in the manner in which he did. He understands. He gets it. It was unexpected. John writes that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This evening we light the fifth candle. This is the candle of Jesus Christ. For the law came through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. If you would gather your communion elements together, I want you to consider that question. Is there room? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread and for this cup. Lord, we remember you were born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, that you are the bread of life. Lord, we ask your blessing upon these elements, and I pray a blessing on each partaker of them as we remember your precious Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, "For I have received from the Lord that which also I passed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" See? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink together, church. And I'd like to invite the choir to come up as we sing that chorus one more time. Is there room in your heart?
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room? Write his story. You can come as you are. It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Make room in your heart. Make room.
You.
Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.